Earth Matters, a weekly segment of environmental news.
Everything's discounted. Oceans, rivers, gene pools, fig wasps, childhoods, wisdom, wilderness, ecosystems, all 4,600 million years of evolution. It's packed, tagged, and available off the rack. No returns.
America's last genetically pure wild buffalo are at the center of a violent conflict that has resulted in the annual slaughter of hundreds, if not thousands, of these gentle creatures. Yellowstone Park does not provide enough good winter range for the resident herds of buffalo there, and when the deep winter snows cover the high elevation plateaus, the buffalo travel to find the grasses they need to survive. As they follow their instinctual migration routes, as they have always done, they unwittingly enter a war zone. When they leave the national park, the buffalo enter Montana, where cows rule and ranchers run the government. Joining us on the phone from West Yellowstone, Montana, to talk about the wild buffalo of Yellowstone is Mike Meese, campaign coordinator for the Buffalo Field Campaign. Mike, welcome to Flashpoints.
Thank you, Amanda.
So let's start with some history. How many buffalo were once free and wild in North America?
They estimate anywhere between 30 to 60 million.
How did this Yellowstone herd end up being the only genetically pure buffalo left?
Well, back in the day, they decided that if they could kill off the buffalo, they could, with that, wipe out the Native Americans of this continent. And they used to hire guns and give bounties for people on trains to just shoot and kill buffalo. And the buffalo ended up just being wiped out down to what they believed to be 23 animals. And Teddy Roosevelt went out for a buffalo hunt and couldn't find any. And then they finally found these 23 animals in what is now known as Yellowstone National Park. So that's what they were dwindled down to from the millions. And they finally decided that these animals had enough worth that they wanted to try and bring them back and formed Yellowstone National Park, which was our first national park. The main gist was to preserve and protect America's last wild buffalo. And ironically enough, here we are 130 years later, and we're killing the buffalo for basically the same interests for the cattle industry.
Tell us what it looks like there in Montana. Give us a feel for where the buffalo roam.
Well, basically, Yellowstone National Park is a high plateau area. We get about the most snowfall in the lower 48 states. And when they originally set up the design, they had enough wisdom and foresight to buffer Yellowstone Park with seven different national forests, originally earmarked for wildlife buffer zones so that the animals could come out and have winter forage to get out of the deep snows. But now we've prioritized cattle on all our national forests, and the buffalo now have no rights. And as soon as they take one step outside of Yellowstone Park to get out of these heavy snows, they run into the guns of the Montana Department of Livestock and, ironically, the National Park Service. I have the honor of living in the pristine Madison River Valley. The meandering river creates a lot of winter forage for these animals, lots of grasslands. And, you know, it's not just the buffalo that come out here. It's the elk, the deer, the moose, and all the migratory birds have their nests along this river bottom. And so it's a very sacred, beautiful spot that's lush and low elevation and easy access to winter forage for all these animals.
But this stillness is shattered regularly. Talk about the helicopters.
Well, yesterday we had about 70 buffalo outside of Yellowstone National Park, and flying 20 feet off the ground on the Madison River was this huge helicopter. And, you know, when you bring in a helicopter, ATVs, snowmobiles, you can't come into an ecosystem and selectively pick one species to harass. When you bring these kind of heavy war-oriented machinery, you affect the entire ecosystem. And, of course, we are just watching all the spring migrations start to occur. We've just had the sandhill cranes return, the white pelicans, the osprey, all these beautiful bird species that migrate here seasonally. And, of course, the buffalo babies are being born now. And we have got the ear of the governor now, and I think he's about outraged. And so I'm hoping to get a change out of him before too long so that maybe we can start to recognize these animals as the sacred beings that they are.
Now, fill us in, Mike, on the reasons for this hazing that's going on. Why are they going after the buffalo?
Well, basically, it's due to the unfound myth of brucellosis transmission to cattle.
Brucellosis is what?
It's a bacterial disease that can only be transmitted by a buffalo aborting an infected fetus, and then a cow, a vegetarian cow, has to come up and ingest some of the afterbirth, and that's how it would be transmitted. It's never happened in the field. It's only happened in the laboratory at Texas A&M. It is, ironically again, brought here by the European cow and given to all of our wildlife. And the worst thing is the elk have transmitted it down in Wyoming 3 times, and Wyoming in their cattle industry has lost their brucellosis-free status. But up here in Montana, elk are not even mentioned as a problem. So it's an extreme prejudice still being placed on the bison by the state of Montana.
Now, why are bison being treated so differently than elk? And you said other critters have it too, right? Like wolves and fox and everything else.
Yeah, everything in the ecosystem. I think the truest hidden agenda that we have is that the Montana cattle ranchers do not want to give away their subsidy, or what I like to refer to as the welfare ranching programs. If they have the bison out on the ranges, that's cutting into what they look at as their grass for their cows. And of course, all of this is occurring on our public lands, our national forests.
At taxpayer expense.
Of course, as well as the helicopter. That's all taxpayer funded by not Montana state funds. This is federal funds. So these are all U.S. taxpayers' funds going to kill these sacred buffalo.
Okay, so they're hazing the buffalo. They're running them ragged in the deep snow, exhausting them.
They're rounding them up into these capture facilities and shipping them off to slaughter. They're shooting a handful in the field. But I mean, the one thing that there is no way of equating is how these animals store up their fat cells to survive these harsh Montana winters. And by having to run an extra 5 to 7 miles every week, you're eliminating those fat cells. And so I think we're seeing a lot of bison dying of starvation and, you know, injuries of being run through fences. And there's a lot of needless deaths occurring all the time.
So what is it, Mike Meese, do you think that is so scary about a buffalo? They're not transmitting brucellosis. What are the real reasons for this brutality against this particular animal?
I think it's the inherent fear of wild, that these animals can take care of themselves, that they can face into a storm and feed in it. When they eat the grass, they spill the seeds. Their hoofs are shaped as such that they retill the soil, and then the magic fertilizer out the back end, and they have a rejuvenation process, and they migrate through the plains and the areas, and they don't stay and overgraze like the domestic cow. But I think we have an inherent fear of anything that we don't have complete control over, and the Montana ranchers have decided that this land is all theirs, whether it's our national forest, whether it's their own private ranches.
Politically, how powerful are these cow growers?
Well, I mean, you look at, you know, just the short-term history. We had Clinton increase the public lands grazing fees that they looked at as a huge blow, even though the environmentalists didn't even consider it a major victory. Then you look at who was the only group that was opposed to the wolf reintroduction here in the Yellowstone. It was the cattle ranchers. And, you know, now we're looking at kind of what I'm referring to as their last stronghold, and it's the control of the bison. And they're not giving an inch on this. The cattle ranchers have run the West since we landed on this continent, and they've come out here and they've taken control and done whatever they want, and they still have control of all of our state legislature. Nothing really happens without them having a say in it, especially when it comes to our national forest and our public lands. They're trying to do everything in the same domestic fashion that we raise domestic cows, and so they're putting a taming element on the wilds of Montana. We're kind of outraged that their way of life deserves better than anyone else's. And we think that there is a way that we can have both, and that's what we're trying to get to happen out here.
It seems to me very similar to the way wolves are hunted down. You know, wolves are targeted, again, for threatening livestock, right? When, in fact, more livestock die from being hit by lightning and falling off cliffs and stuff than are ever eaten by wolves.
Exactly.
Let's talk more about the work you're doing, Mike Meese. Can you tell us about what these animals are like on a personal level?
Well, the buffalo, I think, have a lot of lessons to teach humanity. They live in herds, and each member of that herd is important, and they take care of one another. You know, everyone in the herd is just as important as the lead animals. And, you know, we've watched where a passed away buffalo of natural causes was laying on the ground, and nine buffalo came up and had what looked to be like a mourning ceremony or a passing on for their passed away brother and sister. They take turns breaking trail through the thick, heavy winter snows, and when the lead buffalo, he or she, gets tired, they step aside and get to the end where it's the easiest. I've watched where they've been injured by DOL and formed circles around to protect one another, and then lifted the injured buffalo up and escorted them into the safety of the red willows where they know the snowmobiles can't come to get them. So I think that, you know, they take care of one another. Everyone counts. And, you know, they don't stay in overgrazed areas. They, as someone used to say in our community, they're the fastest moving slow animal I ever seen in my life. So, I mean, buffalo are meant to be here. They were on this continent when we got here. They know how to take care of themselves, and they know how to survive. And, you know, the native peoples, that was their everything. It was their commissary, their food, clothing, shelter, tools. And that's what the buffalo's gift is to humanity, that they're part of this ecosystem, feed and take care of us all if we let them. But if we want these bovine-fed cows that, you know, can't take care of themselves, that are so pumped full of steroids and drugs that they can't even have their own babies anymore, then that's what we're going to get, you know, and that's what I think America is turning into, a big glorified zoo with our wildlife and, you know, free cows for everybody.
Tell us about the Buffalo Field Campaign, what you guys actually do, and then give us an update about how things are going this winter.
Well, basically, our vision is to stand with all the buffalo that take one step outside of the park from at least sunrise to sunset and show the world what's happening to them. All of our patrols are armed with one-chip digital video cameras and still cameras, and that's our number one goal, to make sure that the world sees what's going on and that this isn't another swept under the carpet government operation that we're all funding. We also have volunteers that come here from all over the world. Traditionally, we get about 300 a year, and we've had over 2,200, someone from every state in the United States.
Wow.
And countries as far as Israel, Australia, all over Europe. And people just come here out of the goodness of their hearts and stand with these buffalo. And some individuals from our groups, after watching the torturous behavior that these poor sacred beings are being run through, do perform acts of nonviolent civil disobedience and try and stop things in that fashion as well. So we're definitely a very diverse organization, and we also meet with the governor and offer alternatives and solutions. And
yeah, how's it going with the governor these days?
We have a bizarre legislation in the state of Montana. They meet for 120 days every 2 years. And so they just finished that. We have another meeting that we have with him mid-May, where we're bringing in the leading brucellosis experts through Patagonia and hopefully going to bring him some new alternatives and some new solutions to this quote-unquote problem.
And so how many buffalo have met their end during this winter-spring season?
This year, 82 buffalo have been sent to slaughter, and they've started this brilliant new quarantine plan where they're taking yearlings, animals that aren't quite a year old, that test negative to brucellosis, and sticking them into these quarantine pens. So they're removing them from their moms, from all the elders of the herd, and then they're going to keep them in these quarantine pens for up to 4 years, and then they'll reintroduce them to other places. But of course, in that process, the one thing that makes the Yellowstone buffalo unique is that they're wild and free. I mean, there's 300,000 bison in the United States, but of those, less than 10,000 are genetically pure and not mixed with the cattle bovine gene and what people refer to as beefalo. And so by domesticating them, you know, we're breeding out the one trait that makes them so unique. If anyone is interested in volunteering or helping out in any form or fashion, I would suggest that you check out our website at buffalofieldcampaign.org. We beg people to come out and be a part of this, because once you get to spend a little time with buffalo, your life will never be the same.
Well, Mike Meese from the Buffalo Field Campaign, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today on Flashpoints, and keep up the great work.
It's a promise.
Nobody thunk it. Nobody knew. No one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with great zeal. He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary veal. Cows say tongue. He mooed, we must fight, escape or we'll die. Cows gathered around, cause the stakes were so high. Bad cow pun. He was a scrawny calf, who looked rather woozy. No one suspected he was packing an Uzi. Cows with guns. He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the hay. We are free roving bovines. We run free today. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns.
Reporting for Flashpoints in Berkeley, this is Amanda Bellerby.